What's up, people? Welcome back to Internash Podcast. I'm thrilled to have Yusuf Shadid today as our guest. Yusuf is a founder of GradTrip, a startup that helps students become more employable, and is an author of a book called The Grad Gate. Interestingly, before founding GradTrip, Yusuf chose more traditional path and worked at the big four such as Deloitte and EY. In this interview, we are diving deep into Yusuf's story and will ask him about his experience working at the Big Four. If we want to get a job at the Big Four, how do we get it? And what it is like to run a startup. So, if you're interested in learning about employability or want to run your own startup, this podcast is just for you. So, check it out. Thank you so much, Yusuf, for agreeing to do this podcast. I have been following your journey for a while now, and I'm thrilled to have you on this podcast and just go through everything that you have done in your professional life and just in Australia in general. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. Really looking forward to our chat. Thanks.
Awesome. Why don't we start from starting? So can you tell us a little bit about your background? And why did you come to Australia?
A bit of background. So long story short, I came as a kid with my family, and then we moved back to the Middle East. I have a Middle Eastern background, and came the second time to do high school and university. Now, why Australia? I guess that's first parents chose it for me. But the second time when I came to do university is we have it easy here, generally speaking, in Australia. Not as easy as it can be for international students, but it is that perception and brand that Australia has as a higher education, you know, destination for a lot of students. Now that I've lived here, I realize there's a lot more challenges that we can help and we can sort of, you know, solve. But overall, it is a good option for international students to come, given how, I guess, the quality of life can be if you make the right choices.
That's really interesting. I agree with what you said, like it is comparatively easy here, but I want to know, why do you say that it's easy? Like what are some of the things that you compare and which makes you believe that it's easier?
A few options here. First of all, for example, like for students from Asia, South Asia, it's closer than the States and Europe. That's one thing. More importantly, the options you have within Australia. What I mean by that is you can work and study. You cannot do that in a lot of countries. You can move cities and get better chances to stay here for a visa or PR. You can move colleges and universities. Now, there's probably 8 or 10 universities in Melbourne and Sydney each, but there's literally hundreds of colleges that you can do if that's what you want. So just the availability of options that you have here once you get to Australia is a big factor in you, I guess, deciding to come to Australia. So that makes a good experience. And more importantly, you know, besides the last year or two with COVID, the student life is pretty good here. Like as a student, you'll have a great time in Australia with, you know, being involved on campus.
Yeah, I really like that. One of the things that I personally like is, and this is very particular to South Asia, and the reason I'm saying is because I don't have knowledge of other parts of the world, right? Is that the dignity of no matter what profession you're in is very high in Australia. There is this running joke with Asian parents that either, you know, will only respect you if you're either a doctor, lawyer, or an engineer. And it's like, that's not the case in Australia, right? Like you can choose for yourself what you want to do. So that is something that I really like.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to that point, even the system allows you and gives you support in these options, right? Because if you think about Australia, like the people who are making, I guess, the biggest amount of salary or income are those who do like trade jobs that we would consider in like Asian or Middle Eastern societies as, you know, lower class technically, right, than others. But reality is, as you said, every job here is dignified, and whatever you choose to do, you have a pathway and a support from a social point of view. So that's a really good one.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. You also mentioned that, you know, first your parents came and then you went back and then you chose to come here. So like, and whether you're a migrant or an international student, the struggle is very similar, you know, like just being an outsider, being new in the country, not having the network that you would have if you grew up here or you were born here. So what were some of the biggest struggles that you faced as, or you have seen your parents face as migrants in Australia?
That's a good question. There's obviously a lot of struggles based on where you come from and I guess which city you end up, because as you would know, Australia itself is very different. The cities themselves and how multicultural some of them are, how receptive and so on. But generally speaking, I guess one of the biggest struggles is understanding the culture, like building your network within. Because naturally, as you come in as an immigrant or international student, you're going to stick to your own people from your country, from your city, from your language. Just makes it a lot easier for you, which is great. You should always rely on that support because you're a lot more comfortable there. But you really have to mix a little bit of that. So it's not just about getting people, I guess, from your country of origin. More importantly, you're here for the experience. So the more you're exposed to the local and other international cultures, the better you'll have, I guess, in terms of experience, and the better chances you'll have of getting a job, understanding your options, making better decisions about your longer term. Because I think just understanding that things are different here from a work culture point of view, from student life, and being involved early on is a struggle for a lot of international students and immigrants.
That is interesting. What did you do to overcome those struggles?
I think it's a gradual thing. So there's no like one day I wake up and I have to do this, right? So essentially you immerse, you get involved, whether you're studying on campus, you just become more involved in activities, talking about sports activities, student clubs. For example, I was lucky enough to go abroad twice. So study, like you just get exposed to different cultures, different people. And the more you do it, the more confidence you'll have that you can do it. So there's no magic pill that you think, if I do this, I'm going to become better at presentation or networking with people or understanding the job culture here. Like the more you try and fail, the quicker you'll get there. So you just have to do it. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but you really have to just get started. Regardless of where you start, if it's a small network or not, getting started will get you there faster.
Yeah, that is very well articulated. Yeah, thanks for doing that. I really like that. Coming back to your professional life, right? So you came here, you did your high school, and then you started your university and everything. And then you worked in Big Four, not just Deloitte, but also in EY. Was that the goal that you had? Like, because a lot of university students is like, you know, this is where I want to work. And once I get a job, that's it.
Yeah, that's a good question. So a bit of background, I actually believe most people don't know what they want to do. Meaning I personally, when I finished high school, I went and studied engineering for 2.5 years. Towards the third year, I'm like, okay, maybe this is not for me, and did business. Yeah. And then did it for another 2.5 years, finished that degree. And towards the end of your degree, you really look at your options, right? And naturally, being a business student, everyone's like, Big Four. Yeah. I didn't even know what the Big Four are until my final year. I'm like, these companies are really good, right? Then it becomes your like immediate goal. Like, this is, you know, my dream job. If I get this, you know, this is everything I want and so on. Which, don't get me wrong, the Big Four have a lot of good structures, good branding, great networking, amazing training. There's a lot of good things for graduates to seek. But what I'm seeing in a lot of graduates is that thinking the Big Four is like the ultimate goal, that once you get there, that's it, your life is fixed, right? It's important to put things in perspective. The Big Four are great. I'm grateful for my journey. But it's also important to understand the division you work in varies a lot, which team you work with. You might have a good manager, you might have a bad manager. There's a lot of variables besides the brand. That being said, for me, when I was towards the graduate year, got to know about the Big Four, already missed all the deadlines, right, for graduate jobs. Because graduate jobs, like they're 1 year in advance, right? So I think I knew about it in May, all of them closed in March and April, like where we're recording this, right? So like, I can't get the Big Four. Two things here. First, there's a lot more to the market than the Big Four. Like, you know, there's a Big Ten, there's consulting groups in every single industry. But more, and you can always go to your university career center and so on. But more importantly, even the Big Four have a mid-year intake. So they open up in July, August. for people to get in. Now, was there anything different I did that's magical? Probably not. I think just applied like everyone else, did the assessment center online, did the interview. Of course, the more you seek information from people already working in the Big Four or from your mentors or university, the more likely you'll get a job. But there's no magic way or magic path. Essentially, if you don't believe that you're capable and worthy of having a good job in the Big Four, you're not going to get it. Really comes to self-belief. Because I remember that in my final year of university, I did like, you know, a bit of networking there. And one of the events, we had a graduate from my university and he was like a manager at the Big Four. And I was looking at him like, wow, how can you do that, right? And I would be having a chat and he's like, by the way, Yusuf, you do realize like you can get in the Big Four. And I'm like, yes, but deep down, I was like, no, I don't know. I don't realize like you have that self-doubt because you perceive them as unattainable at that point. But then naturally, I just applied to the assessment center and did the interview and got a job. And you realize once you get in the Big Four and they did it for a few years, like, oh, okay, like it's a great company. But it's not like, it's not unattainable. It's not something that you cannot do as a university student, even international students. Now, of course, there's a bias with visas and so on, but it's not impossible. I know various international students in different fields who got big, you know, good jobs with the Big Four. So it's something important to mention. If you don't believe you can get it, you won't. If you believe, you actually have a good chance. So it's really important like to believe that you can.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple of points that you made that I loved. But obviously the highlight being that first, even before you get it, you have to believe that you actually will. Otherwise, it reflects in how you apply, in your interviews, in everything, right?
So absolutely. Yeah, the self-belief is key in any job, not just the Big Four, but more importantly the Big Four, because yeah, it shows there.
Yeah. Okay. So that's great because I'm sure a lot of our listeners would want to work in Big Four as well. What is it like to work in Big Four? Like, why do you think it is such a dream for people?
Well, it's a dream for people because I guess of two reasons. First, in my case, as a business graduate, right? I majored in accounting. As an accounting or a business graduate, you have a lack of clarity. You don't know what to do next because you don't have any experience. You might have done an internship or work part-time, but reality is you don't know what you want to do next. And the Big Four give you that safety net. It's like, okay, get a job, Big Four, I'm set. I don't have to think about my career for a while because they do all the training and everything. Mm. So that's why people perceive it. Now I know that's not the case because essentially it's just a job and you can shape it. But that's the first reason why people want to work for the Big Four. The second reason, which is probably more valid, is the branding. Meaning, once you get to the Big Four and you work there for a few years, in a way, you're set for your career because a lot of companies and the industry perceive the Big Four as the best in what they do, which there's a lot of truth to the quality they do there. So that's why graduates want to start there because it sets them up. Now, as to what is it like to work for the Big Four? It's really different because it depends a lot on the team. Now, it's no clear answer. Generally speaking, Big Four, you're working, if you're working externally towards clients, you're solving problems. That's what you do every day, right? So it could be financial, HR, risk, IT. Essentially, you get the input from the client, you do the interviews, the verification, the data analytics, and so on. You propose a solution, and then you get the feedback from the client and you follow up. That's in a nutshell. Now, I've spoken a lot more about the Big Four and consulting and so on, in various ways. In the book, I have a whole chapter just for the Big Four. But essentially, it depends on which team you join. Not all teams are created equally, and your job will be very different from one team to another. So it's important to research the team and get to know more about it before you apply.
I love that. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Again, going back to call to actions. Let's say I am an international student right now studying in one of the Australian universities and I want a job in Big Four. What are two things or three things that I can do that will set me up to get a job in a Big Four?
Sure. Two things. Get a good resume. Get a good resume. Get it professionally done. Regardless of where you get it from, your career center, from your friend who's really good at resumes, from your mentor, from someone at the Big Four, from a paid service overseas, it doesn't matter. Just make sure your resume is fit for purpose. the worst thing you can do is keep applying with a bad resume that's never get you anywhere. Now, is resume the only thing? No, there's a lot more to the Big Four and online assessment, but resume is a key factor for someone who hasn't met you. So you need to address it well. Number two is get closer to where you want to be. What I mean by that is you want to work for the Big Four? Okay. Which division in the Big Four do you want to do? You don't know? Okay, look, go to their website one by one. Okay, there's risk advisory, there's assurance, you know, there's internal services, external. You research a little bit, you know which division you most likely will get or will enjoy, right? What I would do after that, go on LinkedIn. I would filter for that company. Say in this case, I want to work for Deloitte, right? I would filter for Deloitte. I would filter for second degree connections, meaning people who know people I know. And I would connect and initiate the message. I would connect, right? So for example, I'm seeing Dev on LinkedIn, Dev is working Deloitte. I would connect with one line, not my life story, not asking for a job. Hey Dev, I noticed that you work for such and such division in Deloitte. I would love to connect and learn from you. One line. People love to help. People love to give tips. People love to feel their advice is appreciated. People don't like when you take advantage of their situation, when they feel that, right? So whenever you're connecting to someone you haven't met, always ask for help, guidance, just initiate the conversation. Now, of course, they might connect back, might not, but that's a process I'm going to do. I'm going to start connecting with people already working there. And it's important to have some commonality with them, whether they went to the same university, we have mutual contacts, work in similar industries. There's a lot of ways for you that gets you closer to the Big Four. Now, you might miss on this graduate round, and that's okay, but there is multiple ways to get the Big Four, not just through a graduate position. And people keep often forget that. As a graduate, you finish your degree and like, oh, I don't have a job, I can't get it. But there's a lot more to jobs and the Big Four than just a graduate program. There's other ways to get in. So it's important to do that on LinkedIn. That's another way you can get closer to your job.
That answer was so perfect because it just explains that it is possible. The things that one can do today to get that, and what are those things, right? So yeah, thank you for sharing that. You also mentioned about your book that where you have detailed chapter on Big Four. Can you tell us more about your book? And in the same note, can you tell us what GradShip is and why did you decide to start it?
Sure, I guess I'll start with GradShip because I guess leads to the book. So GradShip, what we do here is our logo is like enhancing graduates' employability. Now, what does that mean? If you think about it, why is it that someone gets a job before they graduate? Some of them even work full-time before they graduate and study part-time. Well, another student can spend 3, 6 months, even 1 year without a job after they graduate, right? Mm-hmm. So essentially their journey, their mapping out is very different. Employability is about multiple things. You know, you can resumes, volunteering, you know, extracurricular activities, LinkedIn, cover letter, interview skills, networking. There is so many aspects to employability. It's not simply just getting that job, right? Mm. The more, I guess, you have of these things, the more likely you will get a job. So what we do as GradShip is we train graduates, international students in those aspects. Towards a graduation or after you graduate, it really comes down to 4 things you really need to get a good job. You need a good resume / cover letter, good network or ability to communicate with people. You need to have good LinkedIn presence. I guess in some industries that's not applicable, hospitality, retail, you don't need it. But in a lot of industries, especially for office jobs, you need a good LinkedIn presence. And then you need to be able to interview well, answer those behavior questions, assessment centers, and right. So at GradShip, what we do is workshops in person and online and around these 4 things. A lot of times, students who are, I guess, in their final year or graduated already would have a lot of these aspects mapped out. So they know how to do an interview. They've had some training. They might know a bit of some people in their industry, not always. They might, I guess, you know, get some experience and so on, and then good networks. But reality is no one has done their resume properly. No one has done their cover letter. They don't have proper, I guess, support ongoing, because after you graduate, a lot of students just lose access to that, you know, career center. Some of them still have it, but so that's essentially what we do at GradShip, right? Anything that gets the graduates and the international students their first job. Now, about the book itself, which is a grad gate, I actually have it here. So that's what it looks like. It's a 160-page book. The book itself is about mapping out the journey, right? Explaining why is it that one graduate gets a job long before the graduate and what the second one doesn't. So we go from the first year on campus, what is it that you can do to get, you know, employable, you know, activities online, you know, co-host, being co-host, volunteering and so on. Second year about presentations, you know, email writing, written communication, how can you really stand out? Networking is a key one. Third year or final year, graduate year, is about job applications, right? So where to look for jobs, how to do your resume, how to write your LinkedIn, how to reach for people on LinkedIn, how do you interview well, really all the things that set you up for a good job. And the fourth chapter, we interview some professionals to ask about their experience. Mm. And we focus more about what we talked about, you know, the big picture. Like, it's not just about the first job or the second job or the one or two applications. It's about like your career and where you want to take it. And naturally, when you graduate, you have no idea what you want to do, right? So how do you get closer to knowing what your passion is and what a good job is? We talk all about it in the fourth chapter. So that's essentially the book. It's like getting you on that journey from the first year all the way to your first job.
Yeah. No, thanks. Thanks for sharing about gradship and the book. Another thing that you mentioned is that, you know, how we can help a lot of international students, and international students do not have it easy here. Why do you think international students struggle to get a job in Australia?
That's a good question. Why do they struggle? There's multiple aspects to the question. Three things come to mind straight away. First thing is we're not doing enough in Australia. That's just the fact. Whether it's government, whether it's universities, student agencies, we can do a lot better, right? So that's not something as a student you can do much about, but it's a conversation that we need to have, and you know, hopefully things will change in the future. Mm. The second aspect of why students face a hard time finding jobs in Australia is that they don't know what they don't know. And this is not just international students, also graduates, right? Because you graduate, you spend God knows what, like 60 grand, 80 grand, 100 grand on a year to, you know, on your degree, or even more than that in some cases. But the return on investment is not there because you don't know what the return is. Like, you want to get a job, but what does that look like? What is your passion? Do you use multiple times I'm seeing students study 3-4 years, finish a degree, and actually hate it. They don't want to work in that field, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't know how to transfer from this field with a degree and the skills that I gained on campus to another degree. So that's a real problem for international students and for graduates as well. Like, it's like transferable skills, speaking about yourself in terms of skills, not in terms of a specific field or degree. Mm. The last reason why international students face a lot of hurdles or have a hard time in finding jobs because they're looking in the wrong way.
Right.
For example, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of international students and business graduates want to get in the big four or want to get in a big company. Every single company you know the name of, that's a big company, that's a multinational, that's a huge company, is only 2% of the businesses in Australia. By the Australian Bureau of Statistics, 98% of all businesses in Australia employ 20 people or less, meaning they're small and medium businesses.
Right.
That's not an explored direction. A lot of international students don't even think about going there or don't even think about working for a small, medium employer, although they're a lot more likely to find sponsorship, a lot more likely to get more experience there and to get, right? But they don't think about it in these terms. They just look for the big companies. And when I mean what I say, like looking in the wrong direction also means the direction of apply or spray and pray, not doing the other things that getting you a job would need to be done. For example, a typical international student day that's looking for a job, right? Wakes up, goes on Seek, looks for a few positions, applies for 3, 5, 10 a day. That nothing happens. Okay, they wait, they wake up the next day, they do the same thing, right? What they're doing, obviously they're active and they want to get a job, but that is completely the wrong approach because it's focusing on the number of applications. It's not focusing on the quality. It doesn't always include a cover letter. Doesn't always include a job that they will do, especially for those who actually spend a lot of time in applications. If you spend 2-3 hours on your computer applying for a job and you actually interview for it, do you actually want to do that job? Like, when it, before you apply for any job, assume that you're going to get it, right? If you get this job tomorrow, would you actually do that job? Would you enjoy it? Or would it just pay the bills? Now, in the case of international students, I understand it's not easy. In a way, we can always, I guess, do these casual and part-time jobs. I would advise just get some, you know, get a job that gets you some money so you don't think out of desperation. Think with clarity. Mm. So that's what looking in the wrong direction. Wrong direction is apply and not getting traction. The good direction or the other direction is looking for jobs elsewhere. So I talk a lot about Google searches, right? And on Instagram, you have a lot of reels about it. But for example, mixing the geography, I can say Melbourne, IT jobs, full-time, right? Or I can say St. Kilda, which is suburb in Melbourne, internships, digital marketing. Mix the geography, mix the company, and mix the role title, right, or the field. You will get completely different results. You'll get results of companies you've never heard of. That's going to get you closer to that job. And a lot of, you know, the Business Insider estimates 70 to 80% of jobs are never advertised. So everything you're applying for online is only 20% of the jobs in theory, right? So that's why it's important to get on LinkedIn, start networking with individuals, start getting that, you know, getting closer to the industry, having the conversations with people you already know. Another big mistake international students do, and local graduates for that matter, is they don't strengthen their network. So a lot of times I'm getting a graduate saying, I don't have a big network, or I'm not anyone, I can't get a job, right? Mm. Which is true, networking does help in getting a job. But the reality is you already know a lot more people in your real life than you think you do. An exercise I did a couple of years ago, I went to my WhatsApp contacts, WhatsApp groups, Facebook friends, Instagram followers, every single one of them, right? I would say 80, 90% of them I've met in real life, right? So I put their name on LinkedIn. Now, they'll be in different cities, different countries, some of them are family, friends, it doesn't matter. I started building that professional network on LinkedIn. Now, why is that important? Because that gives me first a higher number of people that will engage with my content and actually get me a job if I want to. But more importantly, that makes it a lot easier for recruiters to find me when I have 500 plus connections. That's something a lot of international students wouldn't do. Also strengthening the network, meaning reaching out to people. If it's their birthday, send them a birthday. If it's a New Year, send them a New Year's. If it's an occasion, sending it. It's a one-liner, but it really can end years of disconnecting. Years of you not contacting anyone. You don't have to make it awkward. Just connect and strengthen your current network before you look to expand it. A lot of times students neglect their own network and therefore feel like they can never ask a favor, right? When you have a strong network, you can always be vocal about you looking for a job. You're more likely to find a job through networking. So that's something else, I guess, for international students to look for.
Wow, I love that. There are so many things that you've covered, which is like so important. Just like summarize some of the points that you have mentioned. First is like, you know, as you said, resume cover letter is like really important. And they being apt is more important than just having one, right? They being curated is more important. Second thing is, instead of applying for 20, 30, 40 jobs, and I have been one of those people who have applied for every job that is there. As you mentioned, it's like, I'm not getting any jobs, so I would rather apply for all the jobs. That was my thought process. But later down the line, I realized when I was getting an interview call, which I wouldn't even know what this company is because I don't know what all things I've applied for, then I would realize that I do not necessarily want to work there, right? So it's the efforts that is wasted on my part, their part, without any results, right? So it's important to research about the companies that we are applying for and just think about, do I want to work there or not? So that was a really good advice. Also, another thing that I really liked was about the networking part, that how important it is. And the call to action was, just go through your Instagram and WhatsApp and see how many people are there, and then find them on LinkedIn, and then add them on LinkedIn. That is a really good call to action, because I have never thought about that in that way. Instead, when people know that they want 500 plus connections, they would be like, whoever I see on LinkedIn, I'm going to just click on connect. And that is not how valuable it is. It's not valuable for your connection. They're not going to engage with your audience, and it's not
a useful time for anyone. Absolutely.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing all these advices. Like it makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure like our audience gained a lot of value from that answer. We're moving towards the end of the podcast. I was really interested in knowing, what is that one advice that you keep going back to, which is like, this is something that you just want to follow, you know, in your life, or somebody has given you that you have really liked and which you have kept with you, you know, even today?
That's a good question. One thing that comes to mind is looking at the big picture. What I mean by that is not thinking about just this week or this month or this year or this job, because the reality is your direction in life changes a lot with time. So as I said, in my journey, I started engineering not knowing what I wanted to do. And when I wanted to transfer to business, like that was the end of the world, right? Because I'm losing 2.5 years, you know, parents are not happy. Like it was a big, like a messy decision, right? Yeah. Then I finished a business degree. And towards the final year, when I missed all the deadlines for the big four, spent like 2-3 months not knowing what I want to do. And I did that seek thing I talked about, like applying for every job that's out there. Yeah. And it's never fun not to be, I guess, not to have a secure job when you graduate, if that's what you want. And then when I first started with the big four and the first and second company, you think that's a dream job and everything. When you get to the job and, you know, there's a lot more, like in terms of work pressure, in terms of, you know, different work dynamics that it's not ideal. Like it has its problems as well, right?
Yeah.
So always, I think what helped me there is look at the big picture. What's a month or two or a year or two in the scheme of things, if that sets you up for life? A lot of international students, for example, are hesitant to move cities, are hesitant to move employers, are hesitant to do one action that's really uncomfortable because it's going to set them back for like 3 months or 6 months.
Yeah.
But if your goal is to develop your career, to live in Australia, if you have these goals, like short-term pain, definitely for long-term gain. Like always think about the big picture. Don't think about the small action and things that make you uncomfortable. Think about how would this actually matter in 3 years, in 5 years, in 10 years? If the answer is no, then, you know, don't overthink it. So these are the things that really, I guess, help me when I make those decisions. It's like, just keep going forward. Look at the big picture where you can be in 3 years, not just this exact moment.
Yeah, I love how you said to ask yourself a question, if this is going to matter in 5 years of time or 10 years of time, because a lot of times, you know, it's huge right now, but not necessarily huge 10 years down the line. Just on the end note, if our audience want to connect with you or want to follow you, what and where should they look?
LinkedIn is the best way, definitely, to stay connected. So Yusuf Shadid, Y-O-U-S-E-F, Shadid, S-H-I-D-I-D. That's where you find me. But you can also follow GradChip on socials, especially on Instagram. We've been posting a lot of material on Facebook, on LinkedIn. That's the best way to connect and ask for advice. And of course, the website, if you need, I guess, one of our services, resume review and so on, or you need to get the book, that's where we go, gradship.com.au.
Perfect. Awesome, man. Thank you so much. This was a conversation I was looking forward to for a long time. And it was just amazing. Like I got to learn so much about Big Four, about, you know, how to basically become more employable, the things that international students should keep in mind. And I'm sure all of our audience would have found a lot of value. So thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great conversation.